Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, and it is now, listen, March the 26th, 2010, 6 p.m. We've got 1 hour in this day. This is the time that God would give to us, you and I, to all those listening, a providential divine appointment. May the hand of God bring blessing and strength and guidance in your life. I tell you what, it's a great thing to pray the way they did in the book of Acts chapter 4. As they raised their voices together to God in prayer, and as they prayed that God would stretch out his hand, that God would heal, that God would touch lives, that God would even show signs and wonders in the name of his holy servant, Jesus. Listen, if you don't know me, my name is Russ Dizdar. The website connected to all that we do is www.shatterthedarkness.net, shatterthedarkness.net. And we invite you to go there because there's hundreds of free MP3s, training sessions, and a brand new and a very, very important series that we're doing right now, one of the most important ever, called Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. As we have said, that it's a spiritual war, and behind politics, there's a deep spiritual, ascendancy. There is a rise of a dark presence as never before because of where they're going, because of the future globalism, because of the ultimate day of Armageddon. Though we may be years away from that, we are not without serious battle right now. And it does involve more than politics. It involves your life. It involves who you know, God, or who you don't know. God. It involves your life. It involves your eternity. It involves all of who you are. So listen, this one who is speaking to you right now, compelled by the Spirit of God, is here to tell you that, there's a fresh and deep passion. Now, I have that for lives around and for reaching out, but in the last number of weeks and the battles that we've seen in the political arena, and knowing that there is a spiritual battle there for control, for the control of American policy, for the control of American ideology, for the control of American laws, America can even open the door to the hand of God, to God's blessing, to God's freedom, to God's greater, broader protection. America could do that. Politicians and military leaders can learn to see that God would guard and guide and lead and direct and grant favor. But if American leadership in politics and in military, they decide to shut the door on God, spit in the face of God, and open the door to the spirits of the new age, to the spirits of globalism, to a masqueraded new light that would cry for the control, that would seek the control of America as a nation. I think there is someone more than just politicians that would love to have the money, the power, the military superiority. There's going to be a broader and deeper battle in America and throughout the world in the coming great revolt. Some have called this in the underground the Black Awakening, the chaos before the New World Order. I've been doing a series this week, and it's simply entitled America, Home of the Free or Home of the Damned, the State of the Union. In the State of the Union, I still can walk out today and go share Christ. I can pray freely. I can go to church as I did last Sunday and stand there and pray with many others and listen to the Word of God uninterrupted. There's so many things that we have here as compared to Russia, as compared to China, as compared to those in Iran and North Korea. We need to understand that political powers can steal the freedom from the people. The political powers with their ideologies that come from their belief systems, and their belief systems will surely be shaped spiritually. even if they consider themselves atheists, or if they're guided by a dark, dark territorial demonic entity that would demand submission and demand their land and demand their compliance and breed hate. America had opened its doors to God from the beginning on. America had stamped on coins at one point, "In God we trust." And listen, they weren't talking about the New Age gods. There's no question there's always been the shadow government, the shadow occultism. That's because there is a dark power. It's not just because America is at fault. It's because those committed to Luciferic doctrine, presence, agenda, well, they have infiltrated. They have become a part. They have been involved in the development. They want their symbolism and their agenda and their presence known. Jesus did tell the story of the parable of the sower, where the sower goes out to sow seed, the word of God, and individuals begin to receive it, and they're called the wheat, those that are transformed by the gospel, the power of God, and begin to grow as believers in Christ. Jesus also told the story, and this is 2,000 years ago, that immediately the evil one comes at night, in the darkness, in the shadows, to also sow his word and bring transmutation and bring about tares that will grow up alongside. So it is from the beginning of the human race, at the joining of the insurrection, the fall of the human race, it has been a hostility, a war spiritually that is manifested physically. Even your body right now, inside there has been the death code, the presence of death, the sin code. We know this in our lives, the way we've lived. We know that we have sinned, that we've done wrong. We've felt guilt. We have known that our lives don't work out. Like a train that is meant to be on the tracks to move forward. If it decides to jump the tracks and simply desire to drive through the streets, the fields, the mountains, or the swamp, you know that it's not going to function correctly. It's not going to do right. It's not going to get anywhere. It wasn't made for that. And you and I as human beings were meant to be, well, in the imago Dei, the image of God in majesty. Sin has tore us up. Sin has brought disgrace and ugliness and defiance. And it becomes the open door, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work in the disobedient. Those who still have the operating sin code, the death code, the presence, well, of a platform where the enemy can operate. Like Judas, whom eventually Satan walked right into, to betray the Son of God, and all for monetary means. And I believe the dark side would still offer that to media moguls and the wealthy elite and to bankers and to, well, drug pushers and politicians and military people, to anyone. The father of lies, the murderer, as Jesus referred to him, is operative. One of the biggest mistakes anyone makes is that he doesn't really exist, or that if he does exist, he doesn't really bother me. We can't really see him. That's why we need a heads up. That's why we need revelation. That's why we need, as Jesus did with the disciples. See, the disciples had no idea as Satan was in the room asking to destroy them. "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail." The desire of a dark, dark prince. They didn't know what hit him at first. If you're a believer in Christ, many times in the beginning, we don't know what hits us. We don't understand spiritual warfare. We find confusion and agitation and sometimes, you know, temporary defeats and setbacks. That's why we need to know the superiority and presence, power of Jesus. Of what the Word of God can do for us, 1 John 2:14, making us very strong, enabling us to overcome the evil one. Check it out, 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. To know the authority, to know the armor of God, to know how to live. Listen, I know that thousands of believers could be listening now or in the archives. And there are so many believers that have been defeated and beaten down and fearful. And I'm going to tell you today, that is not the will of God. That is not the design of God. God is, He has willed victory and strength and empowerment. He has willed for you to get up again and again and again, to fight again and again and again, to grow stronger. Acts chapter 9, verse 22. Saul of Tarsus, who had gotten saved, filled with the Spirit, began to step out in obedience to God. And then in that obedience, the scripture says he grew more and more powerful. I pray to God that every believer listening to my voice right now would be gripped by the power of the Spirit of God, by the living presence of Christ within you, to realize that you and I can grow stronger and stronger, more powerful, and even to the point of being immovable and indefeatable. Acts 5:42, it speaks about the believers then. The testimony was this: they never stopped preaching and teaching. They went from house to house and in the temple courts. You see, some believers have never gotten up to take hold of the cross and to step out in obedience. Today is that day. Do you not feel the presence and power of the living Christ, your Savior? It's more than just being forgiven. It's realizing you've been set free. It's realizing a new nature is within you. It's realizing that the living Christ himself has walked into your life, empowered your life, guiding your life. He is there inseparably, an unbroken presence, unceasing living personal presence. Well, in John's Gospel 17, Jesus said it very clearly. When he said these words, "I myself might live in them." In Colossians, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." If you're a believer in Christ, and so many of you that listen are, then know that today there's no change in the living presence of the resurrected, ascended, and soon coming Christ, who now dwells within you, born of the Spirit of God, sealed with the Spirit of God. You and I are to be clothed with power from on high and involved in the greatest mission in the world. God so loved the world. That's the mission of God. That's the mission. And God backs his mission. God gives power to his mission. 2,000 years later, nothing has stopped the mission. 2,000 years later, maybe those of you in China, those some in Russia, there's those throughout Europe and down in South Africa and South America, around the world, all through Canada, and of course here in the United States. Hundreds of millions of humans, you like you and I, human beings, that have heard the call of God, the summoning. And we have turned to the living Christ. It's not a religion, it's a relationship. It's coming to know God instantly when we receive Christ by faith into our lives. Born of the Spirit of God, we begin to grow. And there should be a growing depth all the days of our life. Are you growing? Are you in the Word? Are you growing in prayer? I pray that God guides and directs and speaks and calls and leads you and I to decide to yield and become stronger and more powerful and more in depth with Christ than ever in our lives, to decide to bear more fruit, to do more, to reach more for Christ, to do more, to be light in the world, to do more, to influence our land, America, home of the free, are home of the damned. Not willing to give America up to the dogs. I'm not willing to give America up to the dogs. I read to you on Monday night in Romans chapter 16, verse 26, well, 25, 26, and 27, where it speaks about God, the gospel, and God's intent for the salvation of all humanity. And that by the prophetic writings and by the command of the eternal God, that all nations might believe and obey God. Nations. God's will is for the nation, the United States of America, for Canada, Australia, for England and Germany and France, for the Netherlands, Norway, Russia, China. God's will, almighty, infinite, immeasurable, immortal God. It is God's will for nations to turn to Christ, to turn to God and find salvation and find and turn and bring their lives into obedience to the living God. That brings salvation, healing, relationship with God, an open door. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." That's individually. That's for your family. That's for the nation. I want my nation. I want my nation. I want America to surrender to the living God. This is the God that brings healing to lives and to land. This is the God that brings miracle to lives and to the land. This is the God that brings his presence and power inside of lives and on top of lands when lives give over to God. Now, the serious issue right now is that our political leaders, since the day of the new elections and new stepping in, have brought a very dangerous ideology, a kind of socialism, as people have said, but I see it not as socialism. I see what is laid into the hearts of Barack Obama and many others is that openness to globalism, which is massively dangerous. There is demonic, satanic inspiration behind the globalism that is growing. There is the desire to erase national sovereignties, to accumulate everything together and bring it under the head of the Antichrist in the future, Satan in human skin, under the most supernaturally guided political ideology and military system the world will ever know. It'll bring the greatest destruction of humanity. Satan doesn't care about the nations. He cares about acquiring the power centers and the armament for the coming day of Armageddon. That's what it's all about. The end game is Revelation 19:19. If you haven't figured that out, take a look, dwell on it, think about it. Revelation 19:19. And the dark powers would seek to draw America into all of that. All the politicians and all the military leaders. I mean, after all, why do you think that the Luciferian elite in a very hidden place who've been operating for over 100 years there in California, Bohemian Grove. Why do you think that they invite presidents and senators and media moguls and the wealthy elite and military men and women? Why do you think they invite kings of the earth, rulers and leaders from around the world, and bring them right to the edge of one of the most horrific human sacrificial worships, one of the ancient practices? Summoning the powers, they have the world's elite sitting there, and as they summon the powers, they target those leaders present to bring, listen to me, you better think this through, to bring satanic influence to their minds, to their hearts, the doctrine, Luciferic doctrine, evolution to deity, as a substitute to real salvation. Though it's never occurred in all of history and never will. The agenda, globalism, and the surrender of nations to the control of the coming Antichrist. Now that is why they would do the ritual summoning of powers to bring influence to political leaders here in the United States. It's being done in your nation, America. It's being done in your state, California. Go ahead and do some studies on Bohemian Grove. Go ahead and take a look at Bohemian Grove, an ancient high place. Why American leadership would sit and watch what is termed a mock human sacrifice, even if it was mock. Don't you think it is extremely strange that they would sit and watch? I wouldn't. I would stand, raise my arms to the heavens, and rebuke and pray against. I would expose and I would listen. There are great numbers of victims at Bohemian Grove over the years. Massive supernatural dark secret. The Bible calls it a secret power of lawlessness. And as I've said, Psalm 2, Revelation 16 is very clear. The gathering of the kings of the earth, the political and military leaders for the day of Armageddon, will be done by sheer satanic force, power, deception, seduction. Armageddon cannot occur without it. Globalism cannot occur without it. The coming chaos cannot occur without it. The counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles and every sort of evil that deceives, that cannot occur with dark spiritual, manifestation. And we are in the days of unprecedented dark manifestation. Listen, as we are 20 minutes into this radio program, let me take a few moments again to simply say welcome to you. My name is Russ Dizdar. ShatterTheDarkness.net is the website. We are on live here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 6 p.m. to 7. And then on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m., Survive to Thrive Radio Network. I'm the guest host there at 7 p.m. We have live radio on Sunday nights and many broadcast podcasts. So take a look at the site and look at the tons of free things we do for your encouragement and help. But let's not miss this moment in time. Let's not miss this moment that we have. You could look at the news right now and see the political battle that is going on in Congress and behind the scenes. You could look at just the Democrat and the Republican. You could look at, let's talk about some of the things that spit in the face of God. What about abortion? Since God says clearly that life begins at the moment of conception, since Jesus Christ says about the baby in the womb, he uses the word from the original Greek, brephos, a living human being, a baby inside the womb. God would see and show and demonstrate from Old Testament to New that to take foreign instruments and reach up into that sacred womb and crush the baby and destroy the baby and burn the baby, or to pull the baby out breech, puncturing it in the back of the head. And don't forget, they are conscious of pain. There are silent screams. And when those murderous abortion doctors and the murderous abortion provider at Planned Parenthood, they are racist and they are hungry for the millions of dollars off the backs of little babies. In America, the Holocaust has been the destruction of human life. In the womb or out of the womb, God says, brephos, human life. We are fearfully, wonderfully made. We are knit together, sewn together in our mother's womb. And for an American president to quickly sign paperwork to steal the tax dollars of America and send them across America and around the world to kill more babies, slaughter more babies, and put millions of dollars into the pockets of these homicidal abortion centers. That is a spit in the face of God. That is a way of slamming the door in the face of God and bringing atrocity before God. It is massive to me that we can look at the Holocaust and see the piles of bodies at Auschwitz, Dachau, and other places. That we can see the horror of Nazi ideology begun by spiritual conception that would lead to that kind of Holocaust and the desire of the annihilation of human beings. How you can look at the bodies piled up, it is amazing to me that we are not outraged more even today of what did occur. But there are bodies being thrown into garbage cans, little heads and feet and hands, little lives that could have been a Johnny or a Susie, little lives that were destroyed and their human spirit left and went back to God who gave it. Ecclesiastes 12. And we permit this in the United States of America. And we allow this in the United States of America. We sit back as it's done. Though there is battle, though there is fight over the issue, there is still the law of the land. And a president who has given even more of your monies and my monies to this process. And I believe we need to pray against it. I believe we need to fight against it. I believe, like my wife, who worked in a pregnancy care center for 9.5 years and still is on the board helping, she saved babies. She saved mothers from phantom motherhood, from the guilt that so many millions have felt because they have destroyed their babies, guided by the money-hungry, money-seeking abortion providers who gave vast disinformation. There she operated and worked to save hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of babies and mothers. And the years and years that she has worked, some of those little babies that were saved are now 8, 9, 10 and years older. They've been to grade school. They're going to go to junior high. They've got a mom. Some have a dad. They've got life and opportunity. They weren't destroyed in the womb. Why do I mention all of this? Because this is part of what American politicians have done. This is what a law that is in direct opposition to the God of heaven has provided. And it's a spitting in the face of God. It is a massive, horrific abomination in the sight of God. And it does open the door to the judgment of God. It does. And so when you begin to think on daily basis, all across America, what presidents do, what senators do, what Nancy Pelosi has done, has opened the door to the slaughter of human beings. See, I'm not willing to give this land anymore. I believe we can fight. I believe we can do a number of things. I believe that God comes with power. I believe in revival. I believe that God can literally shake lives, families, cities, and nations as God has done in the past. I believe because every promise of God is ours in Christ. I believe because God is operative even right now. Can I ask you a question? Is there a reason why Christ has not yet returned? Is there a reason why that even right now, the end of the age has not occurred and Christ has not visibly returned? And I'm going to say to you, yes. I'm going to say to you right now, absolutely yes. Anybody can read the revelation of God in 2 Peter chapter 3. Anybody can look at the fact that the reason that the end of the, well, of human history, fallen human history, has not yet occurred. One reason alone. God is patient with us, not willing that any should perish. God is not willing. God's patience means salvation. The reason that Christ has not yet returned, well, there's biblical prophecy that have to be fulfilled. But it's all about the salvation of souls. It's all about God's agenda. It's not that God is allowing things. It's not that God is saying things are okay. He doesn't give permission for sin. People sin against the will of God. People slaughter babies against the word, the will of God, and the word of God. I believe that those little babies have all gone before the Lord. I once did, and I won't have time here, kind of a poem, a prophetic poem-like that I've done years ago when I spoke on this subject, called A Billion Tiny Spirits. If you look at the pictures of Auschwitz and the camps, and you see hundreds and hundreds of bodies stacked on top of each other, the horror of that picture is incredible. If you were to walk into an abortion-providing center and see in the garbage can hundreds of little bodies, and sometimes they can sell the material of those human bodies for genetic research, and maybe even still, they're given over for substance to be used in makeup. Well, you do the studies. This is why I'm telling you, I give you a verse that probably most have never memorized, that most would see as, wow, very obscure. It's the last chapter of the book of Revelation. Verse 7, "Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book." It comes down a little later in verse 14 and 15. "Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city." Those that have given their lives to Jesus, who've been cleansed by the blood of Christ and been transformed by the power of what was done there at the cross, the gift of indestructible immortality given to those, anyone, even listening now, who believe on the living Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a reason for the cross. I pray that the Russians understand, the Chinese understand, and others around the world. We can read even, well, in verse 12, "Behold," Jesus speaking prophetically, "behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. And I will give to everyone according to what he has done." Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Democrats, Republicans, American politicians, military leaders, everyone even listening to my voice. There is a judgment seat of Christ for all believers. Judgment begins at the house of God. What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with the gift of salvation? What are you doing with the Great Commission? What are you doing with the provision of being clothed with the power of God? Get up out of the depression. Get up out of the defeat. Serve the living Christ. Jesus says in verse 13, Revelation 22, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Now here comes verses 14, specifically 15. Blessed are those who've washed their robes. If you've gotten saved, that means you have done that. You've come to Christ. You've given your life. You've surrendered. That you might have a right to the tree of life, to eternity, to indestructible immortality, to seeing God face to face. Verse 15, the Kunis. That's right. The Kahun, or the Kahuns, are on the outside. I'm not willing right now to give America to the dogs. To the Kahun. Outside are the dogs. Listen to verse 15. Check it out. Memorize it. Outside are the dogs. Those who practice magic arts. Pharmakios. The sexually immoral, the perverted, the murderers, abortion doctors, and those who empower them, those who sign laws, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. In the coming rule and reign of Christ, when the Prince of Peace returns, the Lamb lies down with the lion, and the beating of the weaponry into farm tools. The Prince of Peace rules. Oh, he has ended. He has ended slavery, racism. He has ended classism and favoritism. He has ended rape and murder and the slaughter of infants. He has ended the reign of Satan. He's bound for 1,000 years. And there is no war. For all those who have wanted peace, for all those who have wanted a day and age of spiritual beauty and power and peace, and the arrival of God's presence, seeable, to be able to look at God face to face. Well, here it is. The Savior who died at the cross opens the door for direct and eternal fellowship with God. And in the return of Christ, it begins with the annihilation of evil, the absolute destruction of evil, the totality of globalism's political and military, supernaturally demonically empowered system is ended. Well, in a day, in an hour. Check it out. Do the study. Revelation 19. Even those who recon this show, Satanists and Luciferians, military, others, InfoGuard, doesn't make any difference to me. See, this man is all about loving you and loving your life as a human being. That's the only reason I speak. You see, I'm not one of those screamers that just scream about issues. There are great, vast, incredible, awesome answers. And in the end of it all, which involves the end of your life and eternity, which side of the fence will you be on? Will you be there in indestructible, immortal, glorified bodies, ruling and reigning? Seeing God face to face, part of the basileia of God, the kingdom of God, the rule of the reign, omnion basileia, the eternal kingdom. Oh, this is all from the infinite, immeasurable, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God. You see, finite spiritual counterfeit presence, though it's powerful in its offers, Though Satan, the fallen cherub, is powerful and huge in his offer and his operating presence in those who give over to him, even he himself has not been able to evolve to infinite status. Outside are the dogs. The dogs, the ones that have shed human blood, conjured the spirits, received the dark presence, opened the doors to masqueraded globalism that will bring the broadest destruction of humanity in all of human history. Jesus said, again, those who open the doors to the dark side, he said about those days, they are unprecedented, unequaled in all of history and never will be repeated again. You see, those that open to the dark side, those that help write the policies of the fallen cherub, they bring the ideology like in Nazi Germany. They bring the ideas, the laws, the military vision, the enforcement. Those that open the door and serve, they are the dogs. Those who practice the magic arts. Those that would combine spiritism and ancient drugs to hear from the ancient gods of the past. Warning to 2012ers. Warning to those taking ayahuasca. Warning to the, well, the embracers of the Akashic Records, the collective unconscious. Warnings to military remote viewers who have rejected the real Christ and have embraced the spirit of Antichrist. Warning to New Agers. Warning directly to the perpetrators of mind control and warning to those who have created the super soldiers. Warning to those that are believing they are part of a glorious plan under the Luciferic presence. Warning to the belly of the beast, those of you in Europe, to the elitists that trample on the blood of millions. Warnings to the wealthy elite. You've got one life. What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his own soul? My God of heaven, may you speak to hearts and lives, and may you bring this message in providential, supernatural ways to those who need Christ. Sitting in an office by a computer, listening to it on your iPod, listening to a CD that somebody sent you. The Spirit of God can speak and summon you right now. Come to Christ. Come out of the darkness. Come out of the lies. Come out of the deceit. Give your life to the living God. If you die without him, you are without him forever. You are on the outside. If you're lost right now and you do not know Christ, you are on the outside. If you've given over to the agenda, if you're writing doctrines of demons and conjuring the spirits and shedding human blood and splitting the souls of little babies that you might program and create for your use, if you are part of the secret societies and anything that has to do with anything that is empowered by the spirit of Antichristu. Verse 15 is about you prophetically. Verse 15 is about the potential of you being eternally on the outside. Outside are the dogs. Outside are the dogs. Outside are the dogs. Human beings that have given over to the spirit of Antichrist. Human beings that have given over to the lie. Human beings that decided to spit in the face of God, reject the living Christ, believe that they could become gods themselves, and serve a masqueraded light that is lethal, bloodthirsty, and eternally dark and unchanging. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood, evil. Outside are the dogs. I'm not willing to give America up to the dogs. I'm not willing to give the streets up to the pimps of little girls, the pimps of drugs. I'm not willing to give the streets up to the dogs of demon presence that would guide young people into oaths and shedding their own blood and others' blood and opening their lives to dark, dark presence. I'm not willing to give up America to the dogs of the New Age. I'm not willing to give America up. God's will is that nations would believe in Christ and obey God, not Satan, not the demons, not the spirit of Antichrist. And let me tell you, America right now, and let me tell you, Canadians right now, and let me tell you in Australia and Europe right now, and those who may hear this eventually in Russia and China and other parts of the world, wherever you hear this voice right now, the warning is the spirit of Antichrist. Study this deeply in the book of 1 John. Read it backward and forward again and again and again. Reread it, reread it, reread it. Study it. Study it well. The spirit of Antichrist. There is the spirit of God. There is the spirit of falsehood. Do you know the difference? Not willing to give America up. Not willing to give my neighborhood up. Not willing to give my family, extended family members up. I am here to fight. I am here to battle. I am here to stand in the presence of God. Well, like John Knox, there is a wicked political, one of what would be considered the kings of the earth, a leader. And this leader opposed God. This leader that lived in the protection of the laws and the military and the empowerment and the enforcement, this leader that would use that enforcement to oppose the will of God and oppose Christ. It is said that this queen of a land feared the prayers of John Knox, the revivalist reformer, a believer in Christ. John Knox, she feared the prayers of John Knox more than an invading army. Will it come to pass that corrupted, lying American politicians, those who are in the places of power, will it come to the point that eventually they will fear the prayers of believers who will stand in the presence of God and, well, as it says in Hebrews 11, to conquer kingdoms and administer justice? You see, somebody's got a rule in America. There will always be a political system and a law enforcement system and a military system that will back the law, the Constitution. So it really depends on the belief systems, the ideologies, the policies of politicians who get in the places of politics and power. It will really depend on who is there and what they do that will either open the door to blessing and the freedom that God would give, or open the door by their actions to damnation and judgment. Will they serve the spirit of Antichrist, globalism, suppression of Christ and Christ's agenda? Will they serve that? Will they write laws that spit in the face of God? Maybe by the providence of God, some political individual has gotten a hold of this. You will answer before God for all that you do. Everyone listening, the book of Hebrews 4, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Oh, there's an accounting, there's a judgment, and it is coming. There's a cross where the judgment of our sins was dealt with, where we can come to the mercy and the grace and the love of God who wills to forgive us, cleanse us, change us, give us the gift of eternal life, and move us to live as light, God's light, not counterfeit New Age, not fake imitation spirituality, but as God's light to society, the light of the world. Politicians and others in places of power, by God's will, by God's word, by God's instruction, will you bring God's light to policies and laws? See, it's about your life, first of all, before we get into prayer or evangelism for believers. You know what will help bring God's presence, God's power, God's force to America? Well, it's all about the laws of engagement. It really is. We either open the doors to the enemy in our personal lives, or we open the door to God. And as a believer in Christ, I either yield my life to be filled with God by surrendering and stepping out in obedience, becoming stronger and stronger and stronger and more fruitful. By the way, you can read it in John 15. God did choose you, believer in Christ, to bear fruit. God will bless you as you do and sharpen you, and God has chosen you to bear much fruit. Answers to prayer, salvation of life, great influence in your families and in your city and in your nation. See, it all begins with your surrendered life to Christ. The surrendered life is blessed. The surrendered life is open to God. Psalm 81:10 cries out to a nation and is now written for us individually too. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. Open wide your mouth and I... God says to a nation, Israel, in the past, God says to our individual life this principle, open wide your life. He will fill your life with His presence and power and knowledge and will and word, spiritual gifts to do good. Open wide your life to be filled and clothed with the power of the Spirit of God. Open wide your life to step out in obedience to God. Do not be a passive Christian. That is not the will of God. Do not be a spiritual couch potato. That is not the will of God. Do not sit there and give excuses. That is not the will of God. You've been saved by the power of God. You're to grow by the power of God. You're to manifest the power and love and mercy of God. You are to be involved before you can become a great prayer warrior, a great soul winner. You've got to give your life completely. Surrender, yield, step up to the plate. Don't wait for anybody else. What are you waiting for? In whatever area of life, job, circumstance, place, apartment building, neighborhood, city, that you find yourself, there the living Christ is willing to operate in your life in great power and great force to do good. Let me mention two of the greatest things you can do if you care about your nation. If you care about the nation being opened up to God. If you want to see the nation get rid of evil, deceiving, lying, murderous politicians, leaders, those who would serve the spirit of Antichrist. If you want to see the great power of God in revival and in the advance of the kingdom of God, oh, I'm not willing to give it up to the dogs. Don't forget Revelation 22:15. You see, let me give you quickly six things in the area of prayer. How to pray for politicians right now. How to become so strong and so fierce in prayer, so aggressive in prayer. By the millions, we should do this in our land. Number one, pray for their salvation. Pray for their salvation. Don't forget how God encountered Saul of Tarsus, who was breathing out murderous threat, who was getting papers and legalities to put Christians in prison and be there to see them killed. Don't forget the murderous threats and the power center that Saul of Tarsus was dwelling in until Christ encountered him and brought him to his knees. Do you believe that God can encounter wicked and evil men like Saul of Tarsus? Evil and wicked women, politicians? Doesn't make any difference. Wherever the realm of authority and power, in your neighborhood, your family, praying for their salvation is really opening the door to God moving in massive and powerful ways. Since it is God's will for individuals to be saved, since God wants them saved. Praying for kings and those in authority is the priority of God and the urgency of the Spirit of God. Timothy chapter 2. Pastors should lead their congregations in 24, 20, 30, 40, 50 minutes of prayer on a Sunday morning. We need massive prayer, not dead, spectator-oriented churches. Not a bunch of fluff where there is no felt power of God and demonstrative act of God in the midst of obedient, faith-filled believers. Book of Acts, my friends. Book of Acts, chapter 4, they raised their voices together to God in prayer. Great power comes. Let me mention number 2. Pray against all evil influence. All of the demonic influence, all of the satanic influence, the authority of Christ, trample the dark side. Overcome all the power of the enemy. Trample the dark side. Number 3, pray for the exposure of hidden satanic agenda and those who serve the dark side, who are trying to influence politics, military, law enforcement, anywhere. Pray for their exposure and for God to bring them to light and God to bring them and remove them. Number 4, pray for America to repent, for the body of Christ to repent of our lack of doing the will of God and expressing the manifest power of God. Pray that God will raise up the body of Christ to be like Esther's and Deborah and Nehemiah's and Daniel's and Philip in the book of Acts. Pray, number 5, that God, if politicians are not willing to repent and turn to God, that God would remove them. And number 6, pray that God would lead truly righteous, honest, godly men and women. Pray, my friends. And then evangelize, my friends. Step out, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ. The work of evangelism draws the greatest power and backing of God. Hey, read the book of Acts. We've run out of time. Quickly, in the areas of fierce and powerful prayer, pray for their salvation. Number 2, pray against all satanic and demonic influence. Number 3, pray for all exposure of real dark operatives. Number 4, pray for America's repentance and turning to God. Number 5, pray for God to remove unwilling evil leaders. And number 6, pray that God will raise up those who will be great and honest leaders. I pray you respond to God today. Thank you. Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net.